The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning, warning.
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger, danger.
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters.
Oh yeah, flying headlong into trouble and then steering clear of it. That's what we do here with David Trainer, president of New Constructs, as we enter the danger zone. Why is it the danger zone? Well, at New Constructs, they evaluate securities on a scale from most attractive to most dangerous. And typically, what makes a stock or mutual fund or ETF dangerous? Well, when you dig in from the bottom up, you find that what everybody else is seeing from the surface level, it's misleading. The numbers that are at the top line, not the same when you get down and work your way back up. If you want to learn more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter, at New Constructs. David Trainer, welcome back to Money Life.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Mattress Firm.
Danger, danger.
Mattress Firm. That's ticker symbol MFRM. I'm thinking of all the various puns we can make when it comes to Mattress Firm, etc. And obviously,
I'm not in bed with them.
Yeah, you're not in bed with Mattress Firm, at least as they see their numbers. So what is the problem that has you basically waking up and getting out of bed on this company?
This is a classic roll-up scheme orchestrated by Wall Street and corporate executives to make them money while leaving investors holding the bag. Roll-up schemes, for those that aren't really familiar, are where you focus on a highly fragmented industry like mattress sales, and you pick a company to go around and buy up all the smaller competitors, and all the while, bankers make money on fees, traders make money on trading the shares of the chosen stock. They make sure it's bid up so it has a high PE, and as long as a high PE company buys the lower PE companies, the earnings appear accretive on an accounting basis no matter what the economics look at. I'll say that again. As long as the high PE company buys the lower PE company, the acquisition looks earnings accretive, accounting earnings accretive no matter what the economics. So they could pay $10 billion, they could pay, you know, $100 billion. The effect on earnings are the same. And so it works great. You bid up the acquiring company. Bankers make money on the stock that the acquiring company has to sell or the debt that they have to issue in order to fund all these acquisitions because nobody's making any real money here. They also make money on the M&A fees. The traders make money trading the stock, keeping the PE high. The executives make money because they're getting paid based on metrics that don't account for the cost of the acquisitions, right? Revenues are going up. EBITDA is going up. Non-GAAP numbers are going up. All the while, shareholder value is being destroyed, and the party goes on until either investors wake up and say, this is not good, mm-hmm. or two, the acquirer or the roller-upper runs out of companies to acquire, and it's clear they can't actually grow revenues organically or grow profits organically. They never have, and the roll-up Ponzi scheme, whatever you want to call it, is revealed for what it is. So it can either happen when, you know, later or earlier, really at the end of the day, depending upon the sophistication of investors.
Ultimately, there comes a point where people need to
wake up and smell the coffee percolating.
Yeah, they need to wake up and smell the coffee. So what is it of the numbers? I mean, how far out of whack are the numbers that somebody's going to wake up? Because we're always looking for a catalyst. But if the catalyst is, look, these numbers make no sense, explain how out of whack they are.
So we show the economic earnings have declined since 2012 from negative 14 to negative 111 million. Revenue, on the other hand, has grown from $7.4 million to $2.5 billion, or 38% compounded annually. And cash flows, we show, have been a negative $1.6 billion over the last 3 years. They're also showing, and they focus on, of course, adjusted EBITDA. And by the way, executives' cash compensation is based on adjusted EBITDA. Adjusted EBITDA has been growing from, it grew from $87 million in 2012 to $255 million in 2016, right? So revenue, EBITDA growing, EBITDA at 31% compounded annually, revenue at 38% compounded annually, where economic earnings are actually declining pretty steadily, as is free cash flow, going in the opposite direction. And yeah, I mean, that can't go on forever. It's already happening. Look, Chuck, we've been doing this for a long time. Investors are willing to kind of put their head in the sand for a while if they think the stock's just going to keep going up. But it's a game of musical chairs, and you never know when the music's going to stop, and it's truly a function of perception. I can't predict when people are going to wake up and get out of bed, wake up and smell the roses, but the sooner they do, the better off they'll be.
How bad is this going to be? What's a fair value on the stock, in your opinion?
Current stock price implies $31 that they're going to maintain their margins and grow profits by 10% compounded annually for 11 years, right, when we're showing they aren't growing profits at all. And, you know, think about the mattress industry, man. It's not like, you know, everyone knows they overcharge for these things and there's markup, a lot of markup there. But when you look at Mattress Firm, the return on capital is lower than Walmart, lower than Amazon.
Wow.
Right? So they're not really making money. They've got an off-balance sheet debt, $1.4 billion, or 120% of market cap, right? So there's just it's a lot of smoke and mirrors here. And so to justify the current stock price, as I said before, they'd have to grow profits at 10% compounded annually for over a decade. If we assume they do just 9% instead of 10%, right, it's $16, right? So the stock price is super sensitive to profit growth. And the truth is, it's super sensitive to growth right now, right? But people look at revenue growth as a proxy for profit growth. That's not the case. And when expectations align with reality, you know, investors kind of start focusing on the real numbers. You know, 48% downside from where we are today is pretty bad.
Well, truthfully, I thought it actually could be worse than that. So 48% sounds better than I actually was expecting you to hear, but it's still pretty ugly. On Mattress Firm, the stock that is in the danger zone. It's ticker symbol MFRM. David Trainer, thanks as always for joining us on the show.
Great to be with you, Chuck. Thank you.
David Trainer is the president of New Constructs. To learn more about the firm, its picks for the danger zone, its picks for the most attractive and dangerous stocks, go to newconstructs.com. Follow them on Twitter at New Constructs. The market call is next when Money Life continues right after this message.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.